Today, annual CPI inflation, highest since September 2023, and rising. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. While inflation, which was already above the RBA's target before the Gulf War, spiked higher up to 4.6% in March. And it was driven in part by the Middle East conflict, which strangled global oil supplies and pushed up petrol prices. But also note that the data did not capture the impact of the Albanese government's halving of the fuel excise, which came into effect on April the 1st. The unwinding of government electricity support continued to hit households too. Actually, this was the fastest pace of price growth in the economy in more than 2 years and up from 3.7% in the prior month. This was the first in the new monthly series to capture the initial effects from the conflict and the supply tightening, and it comes just a few days before the RBA rate decision next week. Now, Spin Jim gave a 20-minute press conference in which he stressed inflation was still lower than when they came into power, that the excise cut would provide some relief ahead, and petrol prices were lower at the moment. But he did warn that the war would, quote, drive inflation up even higher before it comes back down again as price pressures spilled over into the economy and beyond the petrol pump. What we're seeing here is largely a story about international pressures playing out at the bowser, he said. But in the coming months, we expect the impact of this oil shock to be felt more broadly across prices and across the economy as well. The trimmed mean annual inflation rate was unchanged, actually, at 3.3% in the 12 months to March 2026. So some journos piled into that to say, well, maybe things aren't quite so bad as people were expecting. But the underlying measure of inflation, that's the weighted median, which is the preferred measure that the RBA uses, rose 3.5% over the last year, and that's uncomfortably above the bank's 2% to 3% target range. The underlying measure of 0.8% over the first quarter of the year was just a little bit below the 0.9% expected by economists and the RBA. And the bank's forecasts, of course, were last refreshed in February. That was before the conflict began. Now, the ABS noted that actually housing was the highest weighted group in the CPI, and was the largest contributor to annual inflation in March, with a rise of 6.5%, and that was followed by an 8.9% rise in transport. The CPI monthly movement in March was 1.1%, driven by transport, which rose 9.2%, due primarily to a 32.8% monthly increase in automotive fuel prices. Transport rose 8.9% in the 12 months to March, compared to a small fall in the 12 months to February. Automotive fuel prices rose 32.8% from February to March. That, of course, predates the halving of the fuel excise from 1 April. The increase in March is the largest monthly increase since the series began in 2017, reflecting the impact of the conflict in the Middle East on fuel prices, the ABS said. Average prices for regular unleaded petrol rose 33%, increasing from 171 cents per litre in February to an average price of 228 cents per litre in March. Premium unleaded rose 30% between February and March, with average prices rising to 250 cents per litre. But diesel, which contributes 10% of the automotive fuel expenditure class, had a 41% rise in average prices, increasing from 181 cents per litre in February to 256 cents per litre in March. Now, annual housing inflation was 6.5% in the 12 months to March. Electricity costs were 25.4% higher than 12 months ago, as Commonwealth and state government rebates, which reduced electricity costs for households, were no longer in place. Annual goods inflation was 5.5% in the 12 months to March 2026, up from 3.5% in February, and the main contributor was automotive fuel, which rose 24.4%, and automotive fuel was also the main contributor in monthly terms, rising 32.8% in the month of March 2026, which was the strongest monthly increase since the series began in 2017. Annual services inflation was 3.6% in the 12 months to March, down from 3.9% to February. The main contributors were rents, which were up 3.7%, and medical and hospital services up 3.8%. The tradables and non-tradable series measures the contribution of goods and services that are highly exposed to international trade influences, the tradables, and those that are most influenced by domestic factors, the non-tradables, to overall household inflation. Examples of tradables would include automotive fuel, most food items, and clothing and footwear. Examples of non-tradables include housing and education. So annual tradables inflation was 4.5% in the 12 months to March 2026, up from 1.3% in February. And the main contributors were, of course, automotive fuel was up 24.2%, accessories up 18.6%, and audio and visual computing and media services up 9.2%. The annual non-tradables inflation was 4.6% in the 12 months to March, down from 5% in February 2026. And the main contributors were electricity up 24.4%, new dwellings up 4.5%, and rents up 3.7%. So you can see here how widespread the inflationary pulses across the economy, both from international factors like oil prices, but also policy locally as well, because a lot of it is still, well, frankly, homegrown. Inflation was highest in Hobart at 5.1%, followed by Adelaide at 4.9%, Brisbane at 4.7%, Perth at 4.6%, Melbourne also at 4.6%, Sydney at 4.4%, Darwin at 4.2%, and Canberra to 4.2% as well. Now, given the unemployment rate in March was unchanged at 4.3%, money markets are still pricing in a 76% chance that the RBA will lift interest rates at its meeting on May the 4th and 5th after the inflation data came out, which was down a bit from around 88% prior. The unemployment data, of course, does not reflect the impact of the Gulf War so far. But the critical point is that inflation was already too high for the RBA before the Gulf War, and they were clearly limbering up for a hike. So could it be that falls in business confidence and consumer confidence could moderate their thinking? Possibly it will, but it still does look like hikes are coming. Recall that earlier this month, RBA Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser warned that rates in Australia needed to be set at a level consistent with returning inflation to target, describing it as, well, too high. Given the amount of uncertainty and the likelihood of an extended stalemate in the Gulf, maybe the markets are over-egging the hikes. If unemployment does start to tick higher, that could also moderate their views. But as we've been discussing, widespread price rises are incoming and the RBA will need to react. The price spikes themselves aren't exactly a surprise, given the world finds itself in the grip of what may become the biggest energy shock in history. But it's not going to be resolved anytime soon. But then we had a crisis locally anyway. Australia actually went into this crisis with too high inflation, massive government spending, and a low productivity base and a narrowly based economy, crippled, of course, by already high energy costs. So it's clear to me that over the next few months, things are going to be very painful for many. And unfortunately, inflation will go higher, which means that interest rates will go higher, putting more pressure on more people. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.